You are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke, your daily Broncos podcast.
What is up, Broncos country? It is Wednesday. I hope if it's the morning you're listening to this episode on your way to work, hope you're getting to work to safe. If it's the afternoon and you're listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, I want to thank you guys for tuning in once again to another episode of the show over here at the Locked On Podcast Network, your daily bite-sized Broncos podcast, giving you the best coverage, insight, news, and analysis on all things orange and blue related. Thank you guys for joining me once again. I'm your host, Cody Rourke, NFL analyst covering the NFL and the Denver Broncos. You guys can interact with me more. We're going to do a lot more interactive stuff now with our new fan segment that we have Monday through Friday, every single day. Locked On Broncos coming up this Friday. It's our Fan Friday segment. So if you want to be on the show, shoot me a holler, shoot me a direct message, shoot me a tweet, whatever it may be, at Cody Rourke NFL, and we'll get you on to talk Broncos football. Your favorite topics, whatever it may be, we're getting the fan involved here on Fridays. It's all about the fans, so appreciate you guys. Anytime there's a new episode of the show, please, please share the episode, retweet it, post it out on your social media. Appreciate you guys once again. And also coming up on Thursday, guess what? We have our Locked On Broncos contest giveaway announcement. If you leave a review on iTunes with your Twitter handle in the review, you'll be automatically entered anytime we have a contest. So very, very excited to reveal the details to you guys on what we're giving away for Valentine's Day. Be our Valentine with Locked On Broncos. Today's episode of the Locked On Broncos podcast, it is our Mailing It In, our mailbag series for the Locked On Broncos podcast this offseason. Broncos country took the time on Twitter, Reddit, or any other social media outlet, and they reached out with their mailbag questions for the Broncos, for the NFL, for free agency, for the draft, or about specific players, and we answer that in today's episode of the show. Very excited about that as well. So, you know, let's dive right into it. There is a lot to talk about, a lot of great topics, a lot of great questions from listeners in Broncos country. So, let's start it off with my man, Patrick Chiodi. Patrick Chiodi, you know, one of his questions were, with Jeffrey Simmons dropping out of the first round, do you think Denver takes a chance on picking him up in later rounds? This is an interesting point. I think in the situation, he was a top 15 pick. I mean, he's projected to go in the top 15, top 20 in the NFL draft this year. Very talented player at the defensive line. The issue with that is things have changed with Jeffrey Simmons. Now, here's exactly what happened. He tore his ACL. Now, it happened during training. I'm going to read you guys the official statement, and then Patrick, I'm going to answer your question. Simmons says, as I sit and want to ask why, I reflect on how much God has brought me through. This has been a very emotional time for me and my family. As you all know, I have been preparing for the 2019 NFL draft. Unfortunately, I tore the ACL on my left knee when I was going through position drills this past weekend while training in Boca Raton, Florida. I just want everyone to know that no matter what, God makes no mistakes. He is preparing me for greater things ahead. He has shown me so much in my life these last couple of years, and now is the time for me to not give up. I will undergo surgery early next week and then begin the rehab process. I am going to come back stronger and more determined than ever. If it is in God's will, no matter which team drafts me this April, I will work extremely hard to get healthy and become a leader in that organization. As I demonstrated throughout my 3 years at Mississippi State, I pride myself on my work ethic, commitment, and leadership on and off the field. I will do the same at the next level, becoming the best teammate I can be and helping my teammates get better while I prepare to take the field. Thank you to everyone who supported me throughout this process. I love you guys. Now, Jeffrey Simmons is a very talented prospect in this year's draft, and this always begs the question when we look at a prospect who undergoes an injury. Jake Butt was projected to be a late first round, early second round type of tight end before he tore his ACL in a bowl game. And he ended up dropping about, you know, pretty late in the NFL draft, and the Broncos picked him up. I think with Jeffrey Simmons, it really depends on the team that decides to pick him. He could still go in the first round. It just depends on what teams have necessarily. And think about it this way. The Cowboys drafted Jalen Smith with no absolute guarantee that he was going to be a guy that was going to be healthy or even be able to play in his entire career with the Cowboys. There was nerve damage. There was the talk that he may never play, but the Cowboys still drafted him. With a guy like Jeffrey Simmons, I think a team will take the chance on drafting him. We could see him slip, though. He could drop out of that top 20. He could go in the second round. He could go in the fifth round. I mean, he can end up anywhere. I don't know exactly at this time where I would project him being. I just know before he was injured, fully healthy, he's a top 15 prospect in my opinion. He's very, very talented, good defensive lineman, and he's the type of player for a team that they can use and mold and grow and develop over the course of the years to be a very dominant D lineman for whatever team picks him up. He's got a great work ethic, and that's just the concern there is, can you come back from an ACL? Now, I know we've talked about ACLs a lot on the show because, you know, I've torn my ACL, and Broncos players, unfortunately, some of those guys have torn their ACL. It is a very, very mental game when coming back, but it sounds as if in his statement, and this is just a statement, we can't read too much into it. I don't know exactly where his mindset is with this injury, but coming back from an ACL reconstructive surgery, it is a mental game. Now, granted, pro athletes, collegiate athletes have better access to training and medical facilities than I did when I tore mine. So that can make all the difference. But if he is drafted by an NFL team, he will go through the rehabilitation process with them. He'll get access to great medical staff, top notch in all the professional sports. So Jeffrey Simmons, I don't know if the Broncos take that risk. I don't know if they maybe take that risk. It depends on what team decides to pick him up. He still could go first round with the understanding that, hey, you know, this guy, he's going to come back from injury. He won't be back this year, but he'll be back next year. It depends on his upside. He's got a lot of talent, and so I think that really the question remains to be seen. Will Justin Simmons be taken early or will he be taken later? How far will he slip if he slips at all? And is the team willing to wait? It depends on who, whatever team is picking him, do they have guys right now that while waiting for him to get healthy, they can plug in? That is the biggest question with Jeffrey Simmons. Now, Patrick, I don't think that's going to be the case with the Broncos. I don't see them taking him, unfortunately. I don't, unless something miraculous happens. The Broncos are really kind of shaping up their defensive line. They got a lot of trust in guys. Derek Wolfe expected to re-sign with the Broncos, be extended, maybe at a little bit of a lower salary than what he's making now. But the expectation right now is that Derek Wolfe stays in Denver. So that's a great question there. Casey Grossnickel, he says, with all the buzz around Murray and Drew Lock, I could see Denver taking a guy like Devin White or Greedy Williams with the 10th and maybe drafting a guy like Ryan Finley or Daniel Jones in the 2nd. What do you think? I am a big fan of Devin White. In all honesty, I think the Broncos, he's a versatile enough player. I think the Broncos could take a chance on him. However, the question is, and we're going to get to more of this because I have more questions regarding quarterback, is do the Broncos go all in on Drew Lock or even Kyler Murray? I mean, right now, the expectation is there's no discussion right now that the Broncos have interest in Kyle Murray, but he's one of those players that is very talented. He could be a guy that nobody talks about. You know, I'd say there's another quarterback going on nobody talks about, but in terms of around Denver, around the Broncos, he's a guy that not a lot of people are talking about in the confines of Denver, Colorado. That is the one thing. He's getting a lot of national attention. Broncos players are talking about him on social media. But in terms of Denver media, you know, you have media members, you know, campaigning that the Broncos need to do whatever they can to draft Kyler Murray. Is that going to happen? I don't know. I can't answer that. So my biggest thing, Casey, is I would be surprised if the Broncos didn't go quarterback with their first pick. Here's the interesting part, though. I also wouldn't be surprised if the Broncos traded back into the first round somehow. That might be something, like you mentioned. You know, if they do decide to go with a defensive player like Devin White or even a Greedy Williams, they could, or even a DeAndre Baker, if they go cornerback at pick 10 or they go inside linebacker at pick 10, or they can move up for quarterback. I mean, the opportunities are endless. I could see them, if they do go defense or if they don't go quarterback with their first pick, they could move back into the first round and maybe take a quarterback, maybe a Daniel Jones, maybe a Will Greer. Will Greer, in my opinion, is a day two, day three guy. I just don't see him being the guy that you want to build your franchise around. And I think he's a risky pick for the Broncos. Daniel Jones, I feel the same way. I feel as if even working with David Cutcliffe down there at Duke, I'm not sold yet on Daniel Jones. This quarterback class has me very uneasy. My man Tyson Monroe, he asked the question, why is Dwayne Haskins not being talked about as a serious candidate for the Broncos? If it's going to take a trade up to just get to Drew Lock, wouldn't it make more sense to move up for Haskins? I think you make a great point. Now, Tyson, We're going to come back to your question here once we get to segment number two, a continuation of Mailing It In, our series here on the Locked On Broncos podcast. Before we jump into Tyson's question, I got to remind you guys, if you're getting in your car in the morning, you're driving to work, or you're getting off work and you want to listen to Locked On Broncos podcast, please do not drive and look at your phone just to pull up a podcast. You can now tell your smart device, play podcast Locked On Broncos. I do it all the time in the morning. I say, hey Siri, play podcast Locked On Nuggets, and I get to hear Adam Mattes cover the Denver Nuggets as the Nuggets, coming off of a much needed win against the Miami Heat, snapping their 3-game skid. They return to home. Good win, good defense, the rotations were much better, and Monte Morris, he's the guy that nobody's talking about, but they should be, and Adam Mattes has you covered with Locked On Nuggets. Tell your smart device, play podcast Locked On Broncos and Locked On Nuggets. All right, getting back to Tyson's question, I think I spoke on this on yesterday's episode. Nobody is talking about Dwayne Haskins. Now, reflecting back to Tyson's, he says, why is Dwayne Haskins not being talked about as a serious candidate for the Broncos? If it's going to take a trade just to get up to Drew Lock, wouldn't it make more sense to move up for Dwayne Haskins? Absolutely. I like Dwayne Haskins, to be honest with you. I would be okay with the Broncos selecting either Drew Lock or Dwayne Haskins. I think Dwayne Haskins has some tools. I think he has the size to be able to stand in the pocket. And obviously, I think he's going to be a hard guy to bring down. He does have a little bit of a versatility edge to him. Unfortunately, Stephen A. Smith thinks he's only a running quarterback, which, if you've ever watched Ohio State football, I'm sorry, he's not like JT Barrett or those other guys that they've had that have been able to run the ball. His strength is predicated in the passing game, his ability to stand in the pocket. He's a guy that's very consistent, in my opinion. Going back and watching some game film, I've watched about 3 or 4 game films on Dwayne Haskins. That's not enough in my honest evaluation. I can't tell you that, but based on watching 4 game films from a short to intermediate and occasionally taking a shot down deep, I think he is a decent quarterback. I think he's the best quarterback in this year's NFL draft. I think Kyler Murray is a very talented athlete. Him and, he's the second most talented quarterback in this year's NFL draft. I think as a true quarterback, it goes Dwayne Haskins, it goes Kyler Murray, and then I think Drew Lock is the next best guy. I think he's the third guy. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Nobody is talking about Dwayne Haskins, and it's wrong, because Dwayne Haskins has the ability to be, in my opinion, and like I said, I got to watch more film. 4 games is not enough. But from what I've seen from Dwayne Haskins, I'm okay if the Broncos selected him. I think he's got the stature. Like I said, he's got the decent range on the short to intermediate routes. There's more consistency there. He's got the ability to develop a nice touch on the deep ball. That comes with coaching, but he was very, very pivotal for Ohio State's success as a team, and that's something I think the Broncos will take a look at. I think maybe if there's a lot of talk, we talked about smoke and mirrors, we talked about the Broncos really making it known that they're interested in Drew Lock. Well, nobody's talking about Dwayne Haskins. It could be the polar opposite. They may be talking about Drew Lock, but secretly they're courting Dwayne Haskins as a potential pick for them. Now, granted, will Dwayne Haskins be there at pick number 10? I don't think so. I think Dwayne Haskins is the first quarterback off the board. So if the Broncos really want a guy like Dwayne Haskins and they're worried that New York or Jacksonville may take a guy like him, I think the Broncos move up. I think they utilize a trade with the 49ers. I think they may utilize a trade with the Jets. I mean, a lot of these things have to obviously play out. How is free agency going to go? But that's a great question, Tyson. Why aren't more people talking about Dwayne Haskins? Fire off on Twitter at Cody York NFL, at Locked On Broncos, your thoughts on Dwayne Haskins and the Broncos. That's a great question by at TYS35. Luke Noble, my man, he asked the question, what are your thoughts if Denver goes DeAndre Baker, Jeffrey Simmons, and then Brett Rypien in the first 3 rounds of the draft? Now, Luke, this might be an underrated take. This might be something that could be of benefit to the Broncos. Now, I'm a big fan of DeAndre Baker. I have said that for the last couple of years. If you go back and you type in DeAndre Baker at Cody Work NFL, you will see that I have mentioned that on social media. I think he's got talented skills. I think he's a tall cornerback. I think he's strong. I think he's the type of guy you want to play press physical man-to-man coverage with. He's got the ability to turn it on. I think he can play zone coverage as well. I think he'd play it pretty decently. The biggest thing with DeAndre Baker is I don't think he's versatile enough to really do what some of the other cornerbacks do necessarily. Chris Harris Jr. is the guy you're probably going to line up in your slot all year long, regardless if he's your number one cornerback or not. I think DeAndre Baker is a guy, and Isaac Yiadom, if the Broncos do decide to part ways with Bradley Roby this offseason, the Broncos, I think they have to go cornerback. They have to bring in a guy. And I'm sorry, you've got to develop a young guy. Let him learn. You know, I don't know much about the cornerback market right now in terms of free agency, which we're going to get into coming up as the free agency period approaches us here in the next 2 weeks. We're going to break down every position exclusively, who's available, and what are we looking at? What do the Broncos need to upgrade? But yeah, I'm a big fan of DeAndre Baker. I've been a big fan of him for a while. I think he's got the tools to be a successful cornerback in the NFL. My only thing is you don't want him to be the guy that has to cover all the way across the field. He's the one guy you want to lock down on one side of the field and keep everything in front of him, maybe break on a couple slant or post patterns, dig routes, funnel that in if you're in zone coverage. Obviously, you have to be inside positioning if you're playing man-to-man coverage, but the thing I like about him is he's physical. He can jam a wide receiver, and that's something that I think the Broncos could utilize, especially when they go up against the Chiefs and they have Sammy Watkins. I think a guy like DeAndre Baker would be the right weapon to neutralize that receiving threat while matching up maybe Chris Harris Jr. on Tyreek Hill. So that definitely an interesting point there. Jeffrey Simmons, we talked about a little bit. It really all depends on what the team feels they have with their needs. We'll find out a little bit more as March approaches. And Brett Rypien, he might be an underrated guy, but the question is he your future franchise quarterback? I just don't know if he is. I don't think that's that's in his DNA for the Broncos, at least. I think maybe for another organization, but I'm just not sold on Rypien just yet. Like I said, I I'm going to be honest with you. I got to watch more college football film than I have been. I rely a lot on the Draft Network guys. I do watch film on certain prospects like DeAndre Baker, Dwayne Haskins, the quarterbacks. I got to watch more film though, and that's me being honest. But I do like what I see from DeAndre Baker. Brett Rypien, not so much. I think there's inconsistencies in his game. We saw that with the Senior Bowl as well in practices. So, you know, that's kind of my answer on that. And then Casey Grossnickel, my man, once again asked the question, would also like to see Denver make a run at Trent Brown, Landon Collins, CJ Mosley. If we get Brown, I would move Bowles to left guard, and he would do better in the phone booth and not have to deal with pass rushers all day, just a thought. Now, Casey, I see exactly what you're saying. I think Trent Brown is a versatile player, but more so, somebody commented on it saying that he's definitely a system player, that he had a mediocre career in San Francisco. Though I think Garrett Bowles will be fine. This is the thing. The Broncos' offensive line isn't getting enough credit as it should, as it has in the past. I mean, they're much better in 2018 than they were in 2017, 2016, 2015, 2014. They were much better last year. I don't think moving Garrett Bowles to left guard would do anything, you know, do any favors for him. It's possible. I really like Billy Turner. I really like what I saw with Elijah Wilkinson at the guard position. You have two versatile guys that can play tackle or guard. I think you got to keep Bowles at left tackle. I think working with the coaching staff with Mike Munchak will make Garrett Bowles better in the long run. And we'll obviously see that this year, whether or not he gets better under the coaching of a great offensive line coach. So coming up here in segment number three, we're going to finish up our mailbag session. A lot of great comments, a lot of great questions from Broncos country. I want you guys to keep it coming. But before we get into that, I got to remind you guys to go on social media, on Twitter and on Instagram, and follow at Locked On NFL Net. On Twitter, you have every single host on the Locked On Podcast Network combined into one feed, tweeting all NFL news, content, and everything else. We've got the scouting combine coming up. We've got free agency coming up. We've got the NFL draft coming up, and you can get all the action on one feed, your one-stop shop for all NFL coverage on one single Twitter feed for every Locked On Podcast NFL host covering their respective team, the local experts in their market, talking about their team on one feed. That's at Locked On NFL Net. And on Instagram, you can get stories of the biggest news around the National Football League from the hosts of the Locked On Podcast Network in their NFL areas, covering the team, giving you the breakdown on a bite-sized interactive story feature on Instagram stories, and the longer cuts of those biggest stories on your Instagram feeds. Alrighty, we're getting here to the conclusion of our mailbag edition, mailing it in, the first ever mailing it in segment here. Monday through Friday, we have fan segments dedicated to the listener of Locked On Broncos. And our last comments come from our great friends over there at Reddit. Now, here is where we are going. Lindsay Salute, sgrace_work. Ask the question, what are the team's biggest needs going into the free agency period that they can easily do before the draft? What would be better to solve with drafting? And my response is, I think the Broncos, I think their mindset heading into free agency, it's going to be aggressive, but it's going to be to obtain upgrades at various positions. I think yesterday when we talked about it, Coach Fangio had said it best, that they can add a veteran to the team, but they got to focus on the long term. If they just add veteran after veteran after veteran, old guy after old guy after old guy, if the player can absolutely play and contribute, they can sign the guy. But what Coach Fangio said in Chicago is that right before he got there, they made the mistake of adding all these older guys, all these veterans on the team, and they didn't have a lot of young guys playing. So really, that set them back for the future. I mean, so they went from losing games to losing games and really not setting up for the future. So everything they do right now in 2019 is to set up for maybe the year 2022. Will the Broncos be even more competitive then? It's all about development. I do think that they have to upgrade an inside linebacker. I've been very vocal about that. We talked about it. I think they also have to upgrade at strong safety. That is a big, big question mark. On defense, those are the two positions I'm looking at in terms of them upgrading. So the one thing I think we should all take a look at is CJ Mosley. We talked about him, versatile inside linebacker. If the Ravens don't franchise tag him, the Broncos need to do whatever they can to target him. And then at strong safety, the Broncos have to look at adding a guy like Landon Collins, a guy who can be versatile in terms of covering the pass, which Darian Stewart really struggled with, and being able to stop the run. So here's the thing with Darian Stewart. I'm absolutely so thankful for what Darian Stewart has done for the Broncos. I think he'll be cut this offseason. And that's unfortunate because he played a big role in the Broncos Super Bowl run that they had. He's very huge in that win against the Ravens week one of the 2015 season. My biggest thing, though, is that the Broncos are looking long-term with that. Darian Stewart was phenomenal in the run game, but he was a huge liability in terms of pass coverage. Now, the Broncos are very, very impressed with Will Parks. He could be a guy that, you know, will be evident on dime packages, but he could potentially be a starter as a strong safety next year for the Broncos. That's something that will continue to follow, but I think they have to add a guy. And I think maybe adding an experienced guy like Landon Collins would help, but what would that do for guys that you're developing, like Will Parks, for example? I don't think Suet Cravens will be back with the Broncos organization this fall. I think that, you know, there was a move that they got burnt on. It didn't work out, and it's, you know, it was unfortunate for both parties, but I think they're going to part ways with them. I think in the draft, they can add continued depth to various positions. I think you're obviously looking at linebacker, defensive line, offensive line, and cornerback is a huge area that the Broncos have to look long term. And more importantly, quarterback is the biggest position. So whether Denver does that this year or next year with the quarterback, I think that's going to be evident based on the moves that they make during free agency in the next month, and we'll have you all covered here at the Locked On Broncos podcast with that. But yeah, I think that's a great question. I think overall the Broncos have to do something different, and they're building off of, and I think they got to continue to build off the momentum of an amazing draft that they had in 2018. Can they do the same thing in 2019? And then kind of a follow-up, Lindsay Salute, @sgrace_work, answered that question with bringing in veterans to positions that need to boost now, then filling in the backup positions with draft to learn a modified redshirt program in a sense. Yes, absolutely. And then the next question, it was an interesting one because that was kind of the news of the NFL on Tuesday. Antonio Brown officially declared and asked for a trade from the Pittsburgh Steelers. The question I was asked was, do you think Antonio Brown would be a good pickup for the Broncos? So here's my thing. Talent and ability-wise, I think absolutely he is the type of guy that will be a much-needed pickup for the Broncos if the Broncos were to get him. It would make an instant impact. Personality-wise, I think it's really up in the air. Now, I think this may be an unpopular opinion. I may be in the minority here, but I think the culture in Pittsburgh, I've talked about it, I think it's been so negative for so long. We saw Emmanuel Sanders being very vocal about it, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, and everyone's like, okay, these guys are just divas. Well, I could see it in a sense. I think there is a issue with the culture in Pittsburgh. I think it's all because of Ben Roethlisberger. That's my number one thing with that. So Antonio Brown's behavior, I don't think that his behavior and his handling of the situation was handled the right way. I think he was completely unprofessional, and I think what he did really caused a lot of damage to his reputation, and he did it to himself. Like, that's all on him. I think the way he went about things was completely ridiculous, irresponsible, and not becoming of what a professional athlete should represent. If I'm his agent, I'm his PR guy, he's a nightmare to handle with the way he's done this. I think he handled it in the absolute worst way he possibly could. Can he change that, though, in a new setting, in a new environment, in a new culture? I don't know. I think that's the biggest question that we have right now in terms of if the Broncos want to bring in a guy like Antonio Brown. I think as the Broncos really kind of changed the culture that they've had the last couple of years, they don't want that. I think they're getting rid of the attitude types, the entitlement types that we've seen. I think it's about buying into the team, and really everything that Antonio Brown has done has indicated that it's just for him. It's all about him. And I'm going to go back to several stories that have been pushed around the National Football League. Several people I've talked to from around the NFL, they have told me that Antonio Brown, really, he's been babied a lot by the coaching staff. He's played to by the coaches in practice. Nobody can touch Antonio Brown in practice. You don't want to injure your best player. That resulted in a lot of conflict and tension with players on the defensive side of the ball and other offensive players and other teammates in Pittsburgh. For example, we saw Martavis Bryant. He didn't want anything to do with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So what's going on in Pittsburgh? Antonio Brown can't be baby. He's a professional athlete. He's a very talented athlete. Great player. He has got to do a lot of growing up, though. And I don't know if the Broncos want to take that risk right now. I think, obviously, there's some tension there between Antonio Brown and the Steelers that gives off the vibe to teams that may be interested in the talent of Antonio Brown that, look, I don't know. If this guy threw a fit over, you know, something like that in Pittsburgh, what's it going to be like when we, you know, bring him into a culture that's all about what can you do to impact the team? What can make the team better? It's not about you, it's about the team. That is a strong point I think everybody should take into consideration. But if we're talking about Antonio Brown's talent and production as a player, I think Antonio Brown would be a great pickup for the Broncos. But will that happen? I don't know. I have a hard time believing that the Steelers will just trade him away for that. I think the Broncos would have to give up a little bit too much, and you may have to take on some of that money there. So I think they're going to look to trade him as quickly as possible right before the new league year. So in the next month, we're probably going to see Antonio Brown. It's going to come across the ticker wire, traded to some team. Is that the Broncos? I'm not sure. And then we got another question from Tay Chels. Says, which except for quarterback do you think is the most important position we prove on in free agency in the draft? Who do you think will be the best to get for that position? Kind of answered this already. I think you got to go, if you're not going quarterback, you have to go with cornerback. I'm a big believer in cornerback. Greedy Williams, very, very talented player. I think arguably the best cornerback in this year's NFL draft. I also believe that DeAndre Baker would be a great pickup for the Broncos. Like I said, I like his ability to be physical at the line of scrimmage, play man-to-man coverage. He does have deceptive makeup speed, which is something that we've seen him bait quarterbacks with in the past. Could he be a good pickup for the Broncos? I think so. I think cornerback and inside linebacker are the best positions. But I think the Broncos address inside linebacker via free agency, and I think they draft young at cornerback if they do not go with the quarterback position, which everybody's talking about. I think that would be a great move. I'd be very happy if the Broncos got a guy like Greedy Williams or DeAndre Baker. So that'll do it here for our Wednesday edition, mailing it in, our Broncos mailbag. Every single Wednesday, we're doing the mailing it in segment here on the Locked On Broncos podcast for the fans. Tweet us your questions, your Broncos mailbag questions. We'll get, obviously, tweets sent out beforehand so you have time to get in your questions to be answered here on air. Tomorrow's episode of Locked On Broncos. Do not forget, we're going live on Periscope for an episode of the show. We're going to get answered NFL questions. We're going to be asked Broncos questions once again as the offseason continues to approach for the Broncos. Free agency, the scouting combine coming up, and the NFL draft in April. It's going to be a busy offseason, and we'll have you covered here every single day on the Locked On Broncos podcast. Like I said, it would mean the world to me if you guys shared the episode, retweeted it, shared it on your social media accounts to your family, to your friends that are Broncos fans. Continue to share it. Amazing numbers as always. Amazing listeners. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to another episode of the Locked On Broncos podcast. Guess what? I'll see you guys bright and early tomorrow morning.